Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hair Dystry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Day off. My name is Gordon. Of course, I'm sitting with my best friend Tony, although he's sitting at his house today. What's up, brother?
What's going on, homie?
Nothing, man. How was your weekend? Because we're gonna release this in a couple months or so, but we just got off of Father's Day. So how was your weekend, bro?
Oh man, it was actually fantastic. Although I was missing one of my kids. He's in Germany chilling. He comes back this week in a couple of days, but he's been there for about a month. Skyle and I went on a nice big hike. I got to hang out with the grandbabies. It was super nice, man. How about you?
That's very cool. Well, one, I want to say, like, you know, although the just say Father's Day is that, at least, you know, my perspective is that, you know, Father's Day is all about just giving to the family, you know, not necessarily about me, but about, like, you know, how can I be better? How can I be a better role model for my family? Or, you know, how can we celebrate the whole family unit as opposed to, like, celebrate me? Cause I don't need that. You know, and I think a lot of dads don't need that. They just want to, you know, kind of celebrate the family unit. For me, dude, I went on this really cool hike. If you're ever in Maryland, I highly recommend that you do. It's called High Rock Lookout. And it's this amazing lookout. And then, you know, people have, like, they've graffitied and spray painted the rock. And a lot of people don't like that, but I thought it was very, very cool. It's like this, like, graffiti rock in the middle of, like, the woods, essentially, you know, and you're overlooking, you're so high in the area and you're overlooking the Pennsylvania Valley there. So that was very, it's very cool. And to look out and to kind of see, like the graffiti on the backdrop of, like, this big oasis, essentially. It's a bunch of farmland and stuff, but it's very cool. It's just kind of very cool, you know. It's pretty dope.
So, ditto, man. We were overlooking the Shenandoah River at a high mountain point, and it was breathtaking, just sitting there with my daughter and talking, and just the view was, and the company was second to none.
It's amazing. Like, there's definitely something about, like, overlooking nature, breathing it in, or being in it. You know, I think that, like, there's some psychology work that's going on right now, like, just about, like, grounding yourself. And, like, even if you just take your shoes off and you're standing on the earth, like, you know, the endorphin rush that you get, or, you know, what's the last thing? It's probably like an Instagram, like, reel or something. But, you know, if you hear water or something, like, it increases your endorphins, just make you feel better, make you feel more connected.
It just makes me want to pee.
well, after the pee, the water just kind of relaxes you and stuff. And, like, I'm buying into that stuff more and more and more as we get, as I get older, because I think, you know, what I've noticed is that as I've gotten older, like, the nuanced stuff matters more. You know, when I was 30, it was all about, like, the impact stuff, like, how much impact can it be? But now it's, like, recognizing the nuance and just how comforting that is.
Yeah, spot on, man. Like, you just don't sweat the small stuff. You know what I mean? It's all big picture, and it's
amazing. Big picture, but small picture for me, right? Like, standing in the grass is, like, important.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like when I was 30, I don't necessarily, or 20, I don't necessarily know if I would have recognized the nuance within my body from standing in the grass. This sounds so weird. Anyways, dude, I'm excited about our conversation today. Yeah, so. Just nerd. I'm excited about our conversation. We get to talk to an old friend of ours, an old friend who's not old, who's very young. But I'm always excited to talk to our guest today. Our guest today is Gina Bianca, and we've done, I don't know, man, like 50 podcasts with Gina or something at this point. But but we get to talk to her once again today, and it's just really cool when we can just, like, bring a friend on and just chat it up. So you ready, man? So
yeah, let's do it. She's definitely an original OG of the podcast. And she's supported the podcast. She's been a friend of ours for a while. And anytime we get opportunity to talk to her, because she has always has so much going on, and and so much insight and knowledge of the industry. It and she shares it, which is great.
She shares it exactly. You know, it's actually cool. Before we bring Gina in officially, like, you know, I think number one and number two most listened to podcasts ever are both from are the top two are Gina Bianca. So, like, of course that actually shit. Gina changed it. Gina, man, welcome to the podcast.
I'm really number one and number two.
I think you are. Yeah, yeah. I think I don't really pay attention to those numbers, but you know, you're just consistently on the top. You changed your name though. It's not Bianca, is it?
My last name is Sicard now, but I guess my stage name now is Bianca because I'm not changing my Instagram.
Listen, between you and Olivia, I don't know what to do because I go Olivia Smalley, she's like Thompson, you know, she like starts screaming in my ear. So between you and Olivia, nobody's gonna know who you guys are.
I know. Well, me and Olivia are old fashioned. We like to honor our men, but we also built a name for ourselves as strong, independent businesswomen. So it's always a little challenging to do the whole last name thing. But thank you for having me and happy Father's Day to both of you. And I was listening to your little banter about being outside, and it's so true. It does really like make you happier to be with nature. So I'm glad you guys got to do that. And again, super grateful to be on the show today.
Thank you, man. You know, just to kind of transition from what we were talking about earlier into this, like, if you listen to like Gina's the handful of podcasts that we've done with Gina, every time we talk to her, she's a little bit more of an evolved human being, you know. And like in each podcast, and I'm not making fun, I promise you, I'm not. It's been very nice standing where we stand and kind of watch the evolution of Gina. And it's very, very cool. And I think that we need to pay a little bit more attention to that, understanding that we're all evolving human beings, and that evolving because we never evolve, right? Like, I mean, we're never evolved, meaning like that means something, you know. We're just constantly evolving. And if you were definitely to listen to the handful of podcasts that we've done, we've watched you evolve on that. And one, I want to congratulate you, but two, I really want to take notice to that, because I think that that's really, really important that, that you can change who you are, whether it's branding or whether who you are as a person, or just give life grace.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to some changes. You know, I'm growing up, you know, I turned 30, turning 32 tomorrow. You
Happy
know,
birthday.
Yeah,
my
thank
old
you.
Soul.
Gemini life.
You're Gemini, yeah. Like Tony.
Yeah, Gemini.
Geminis are the best. Me, myself, and I, my three personalities. but no, yeah, I can definitely see with the podcast that I've done with you guys, and just over the past like decade of my career and in my life, I've changed and grown and gone through so much. And I think like with your 30s, you just don't give a fuck anymore about like what people think, and you get a lot more comfortable with like who you are. And, you know, I love my 20s, but I worked my freaking ass off all through my 20s. I was not sober in my 20s, which, you know, that's a whole different story. But, you know, being 30, knowing what I know now, I built a beautiful business for myself. I'm married, you know, I definitely could see the evolution, and I do feel like I feel like I'm a grown up now. I feel like I'm a grown up.
You know, go ahead, Tony.
Who was this that said, if you're the same person at 50 as you were at 20 or 30, you wasted 20 or 30 years.
That was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali said, if you're the same person at 20 that you are, if you're the same person at 50 that you were at 20, you waste 30 years of your life.
Well, and that's what makes us unique, Tony, me and you, because as Geminis, we're different people every hour.
Touche.
Corey has witnessed that quite a few times.
I love being a Gemini. I've never identified with anything so much, but other than being Italian.
Yeah, but even my birth date's a Gemini. It's a 6/8/6/8.
I love that.
So that's even a true Gemini. So I'm Gemini through and through.
I love that. That's awesome.
Through and through. I want to bring up something though. You said like in your 30s, you just don't care anymore. And
just
I would
don't care.
I would argue in your 20s, at least Gina, in the way that you presented yourself, was like you didn't care, but it was almost in an aggressive manner. I don't care. Now, like as you start to get older, it's like you don't care because you don't care. It's not like I don't care and I'm going to put it in front of me. Like, I don't care because I'm more comfortable with who I am. And that will continue to evolve as you get older too. It's less of I don't care.
If that it's makes more sense. Like who you take seriously in your life. Like the only people I really care about, the only person I care what they think is my husband of me. Like even family and stuff like that, I don't really care because they're not with me every day. They like, I have such a deep bond with my husband and we look in the same, I always say like, it's not about going in the same direction. It's about looking in the same direction. And my husband and I look in the same direction. He knows me better than anybody. And the only person I care about what they think and who I'll ask for like a genuine, you know, is my husband. I always take feedback from my staff and I care about all that stuff. But like personally, that's the only thing I really truly care about. When I was younger, I would like you said, more aggressively, like fuck the world. Like I didn't care. I was on my grind. I was on my mission, but I did let things get to my heart. Like comments on Instagram, for example, like stuff, you know, I've been in the spotlight on social media for almost 14 years. Like I've constantly been building my online presence. So I've had a lot more and in, you know, in my hometown, building my salons, you know, I have definitely been in the spotlight and people say, even as a hairstylist, she's expensive. She's all right. You know, her salon is this, you know, I've always had people saying stuff about me and I did take it really, really personal. And I feel like as I've gotten older, like I'm very secure, more secure with myself, less insecure.
Mm. How do you do it? I mean, if you read like a negative thing, do you process it or do you just not read it?
I don't really get, so I have such a different perspective now. Like if somebody's going to come, like how Taylor Swift, she's just like, you are somebody that I don't know, but you're taking shots at me like it's Patron. And I'm just like, damn,
right?
It's 7 a.m. Like what is going on with you that you need to take shots at me at 7 o'clock in the morning? Like something's going on with you. And I'm more like feel, maybe it's my yoga training. Maybe it's that because I did my yoga YTT training. I did a life coach training. I did my Tony Robbins training. And I've been in intensive therapy for 3 years now. But I more look at people like, I just hope you're all right.
Yeah.
I always think of it as a reflection of them. And that's easy advice to give because people have been giving me that advice forever. But when you finally have that like mindset shift of they're coming at me because of how they feel about themselves, not because of me as a person. And just things like, you know, I might do chunky highlights on someone and I might have 1,000 people be like, that's disgusting. And I'm just thinking like this person has no awareness that they're talking about a human being. Like they're not an evolved, they're like a non-playable character. Like they haven't evolved to the understanding that their words could hurt someone. So it's like, almost just feel bad for them. So like with social media and my husband, his number one rule with social media is you never read the comments. And on Instagram, we encourage people to comment and they say, you must comment back. So I do my best to like not really read too much into it. But my perspective is more like, I hope you're all right. Like, honestly, I don't care if you're all right, but I'm more like, I'm just like, damn, like you should figure yourself out. I don't take it as personal anymore. I have had people attack me on a personal level. People that like one person that I like know. And then I had one person who's a stranger attack me a way nobody has ever attacked me publicly. It was very, very weird. And it did really bother me. And the first phone call is my therapist. And she's just like, she deals with like a lot of celebrities. Mm-hmm. And she's very used to public shaming, canceling, stuff like that. So she has a lot of clients who are going through that or whatever. So her support has been amazing. And guess what the answer is? You never respond. It's really hard as an Italian and a Gemini to not want to break someone's legs. You know what I mean? I more want to like go to your house and break your legs, but you just have to just let it go.
That's it. And that's absolutely the best advice. And Tony and I, we have a friend who literally reached out to one of her trolls and it ended up being a nightmare for everyone.
It's not worth it. You're giving them what they want.
Exactly. That's it. And that was exactly it. Like this person had been a troll for a while and kind of like slowed down a little bit. And then our friend reached out to them. And then it was like tightening up the gears again. It was like dropping like a V8 up in the attention there, because then it was all out. And, you know, you feel sorry for that, but yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same. I see people as like baby little birds without feathers, you know, and every feather that every feather that they grow, they're ready to fly. But, you know, sometimes it's just ugly. Yeah. But I think if we have one takeaway in the first, you know, 10 minutes of this podcast, is that if you have a troll, man, just don't engage, you know, don't engage, because, you know, I know how I am. I'm not very good at fighting and debating and all that stuff. So like, why am I going to fight in their arena?
Yeah, I know myself, like, I have to hold myself back, like, because it's not worth it. I could be mean too. You know what I mean? Like, I could be mean.
But you don't like to mean you, right? Like, you don't like when that person's exposed.
No, but like, my Italian women will know, like, sometimes you're just like, are you kidding me? I will destroy you. Like, literally. But, you know, it's not worth it. And you know what? I make so much money off of social media. Like, it is like, I built this monster. There's a huge benefit from it. But with every benefit, there's a curse. So you almost have to just have that, like, you have to have that, like, expectation. Like, yeah, I'm going to have trolls. Yeah, I'm going to have people who literally hate me for no reason. They don't know me. They don't know anything about me, but they're going to hate me, and you just have to not respond. But I am lucky. I don't have a lot of it. I'm not a very controversial person. You know, I could be way more controversial than I am, but I'm pretty much just teaching about hair and business. Like, I'm not talking about politics or religion or like too much stuff that's like something that someone could really come after me for. So I guess I have it pretty easy, but you know, it does always like get to you a little bit when you have that kind of stuff happen. But the best thing is just never respond, as hard as it may be.
That's it. And you just got to kind of swallow that and process through. Okay. Yeah. That happened.
Most of it's envy, jealousy, and et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? They want to be where you are, and they don't, you know, and they can't, or, you know, so it's easy to hate. So it,
yeah. What's that? There's another quote that goes with that. Like, nobody that's ahead of me has ever trolled me. Right? Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's always people that are climbing and not like the people that are heading. Not the people where you want to be aren't the ones that are trolling you. Unless you're Elon Musk, I guess. I guess Elon trolls everybody, but you know, that's just his.
I like Elon.
Well, yeah, so do I. It's not a shot against Elon. It's just, but he does troll everyone.
I like that. I don't know. I just, the world is weird though. There's some interesting characters playing in the world.
We need interesting characters. Hey, so you're talking about social media. How has oh crap, I just brain farted, Gina. The thing that you're doing with Ashley and Olivia.
Oh. Educate with Influence. Thank you. we came on your show and talked about it with everybody when we first launched it. And interestingly enough, today, June 19th, I know this is coming out later, we're graduating our first class. So we're really excited. It's been amazing. We had 40 students sign up, and we have we've got a lot of them graduating, but it's at your own pace. So some of them are graduating within 3 months. That's the way the course is intended, because we really want to be able to get people to become an educator and teach a class within 3 months. But also, people are very busy, so it is a work at your own pace. So we're graduating our first class today, and then we're making some changes to our course to make it a little easier and more accessible to graduate with your busy schedule. So stay tuned for those announcements later.
I want to celebrate that, like, your very first class, you guys had 40 students.
Yeah. I mean, it's needed. It's a very big need in the industry. You have amazing educators who have never learned to market themselves, and you have big name influencers who really need the classical education training to do it. Now you need both. So the course is very needed. So, and it's amazing. Like, me, Ashley, Olivia, and Bridget, we really like outdid ourselves. In my opinion, I do a lot of education. The course is gorgeous. It's amazing. Everything is there. All the feedback has been wonderful, and it's been great to get, like, any feedback we've gotten, we've been able to use to improve the course. but we did build the course based on what people wanted. I sent out this huge survey and I asked them, like, what is missing from the industry? Like, what exactly do you want to learn? And we had like 90 people fill out this huge survey, and we built the whole course around what people really wanted. So it's been great to build a course based on feedback from real stylists.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And kudos
to you guys for evolving it as well. You're seeing, you know, where it might need to be enhanced, and you guys are literally are doing that, and you know, hats off to you guys.
Yeah, nothing's ever done. We were talking about that earlier. It's like nothing is ever complete, and you know, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be finished. The industry is always changing, and I'm always learning and growing. So as I learn and grow, I want to share that with my students. So the course will never be done. It's always going to be evolving, and we're always going to be listening to our students to make sure that the course consistently is serving them, because all what we care about the most is the student success. Like, can you teach a class? Like, that is the goal. And every student has to teach a class. It could be online, could be in person. Every student has to teach a class to graduate. And, you know, some of them were really nervous about that. And I was like, once you get through this, you're going to be like itching to do it. So I think that's what really sets it apart. Like, in within 3 months, if you really want to do it, you'll be able to teach a class, and you'll be able to easily put together any kind of education that you want to do.
That's so cool. And are you like a mama bear? Are you kind of like watching how everyone's social media and presence has been evolving?
Yeah. So I go through and I try to follow everyone on there. We do live sessions. So I get to, my big thing is I want to see your face. So we tell them, like, put your camera on. They don't have to, but like, I want to see their face so I could put a face to the name and like get to know them. But it's cool, 'cause on the live sessions, you're listening to them. You're getting to know what's going on with them. You follow them on Instagram, and then we have our Facebook page too. So it's good connections, but it's been very, very like emotional. A lot of the students are very like grateful that the course exists, because this has been a dream of theirs for so long, but a lot of people don't share how to do it. Like, you'll see like a lot of big name educators out there doing 20 classes a year, but they're not very easy to give away their trade secrets. Like, how are they doing it? Because the market is quite saturated now. And people aren't giving away the education and knowledge on how to do it. So a lot of people want to do it, but they feel like it's completely out of reach because they don't have a mentor. So a lot of them are just really grateful for the course. And a lot of them have had this dream forever. A lot of them are parents, and, you know, maybe they wanted to do it when they were younger, and they're like, I'm taking this huge step for myself. And it's beautiful. Like, there've been tears on every call. Like, and I was not expecting that. Like, I wasn't expecting that kind of reaction to a course, but it is a life-changing thing. It's helping people make more money. It's helping people tell their story. It's really beautiful. So I'm very pleased with how it's been going, and I'm excited. We're starting our next run for promotion now.
Oh, that's so cool. Congratulations. Congratulations to all you guys. And like, you're just finding that void and kind of filling it. That's very, very cool.
Yeah. And me, Ashley, Olivia, and Bridget, this is the first time I've had a business partner, three business partners. We all work very well together, which is nice. And we all, it's nice to work with smart, strong, independent women. Like, it's nice to work with and hardworking women too. Like, oh, we need to get this done. Everyone's on it. So it's really nice. It's been a pleasure to work with all of them.
That's amazing. That's so amazing. Hey, so what brands are you working with now?
I'm actually a free agent right now. What? Yes. I've been working with a bunch of different brands over the years, but I am currently a free agent. I was working with Rusk. I'm not working with them exclusively anymore. But, you know, my journey has led me through so many experiences, and I've worked with so many brands, and I've been on a lot of different stages with a lot of different brands, and I'm excited to kind of focus more on business. You know, with Rusk, I was their director of hair color. They're switching things up. I'm not really sure what's happening there, but, you know, I love hair color.
Right.
But I just feel like I have so much more to offer the industry, with my experience besides hair color and putting foils in people's hair. And I've been saying this for years, but you know, every time a brand works with me, they're like, sell our lightener. And I'm like, okay. I like build this beautiful business class. And they're just like, okay, but talk about lightener. And I'm just like, damn it. I'm like, I just want to help people grow their business and make more money. And it's really hard. It's really hard to find a brand that that aligns with, but say a prayer for me, because I do love working with brands, because my biggest reason for working with brands, number one, love to get paid from brands, right?
Right.
Great revenue stream. I talk about that and Educate with Influence a lot. Number two, brands allow me to give more education free to the hairdresser. So I love working with brands for that reason. So say a prayer for me, guys. I'm a free agent, but maybe I'll find a good match. Brands who want to help elevate the beauty industry and elevate stylists.
It's, you know what it is? It's like the way that I think about it, especially when you're talking about like a manufacturer, you know, that actually has a product. It's such a long road for ROI when you're talking about business. Right. Like, it's not like, hey, sell my lightener and here you're going to sell X amount at the end of this class. You know, with the business thing, like the ROI for these brands, I think it's important and pertinent that we do this, but it's just a long road to kind of get there.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Working in corporate is so weird too. Like, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it too. Like, it's trying to take all these entrepreneur brains and systemizing them, which you know, does, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think that, you know, it just is. Anyone that's worked with the brands, you know, it's like it's looking through the lens or through the funnel of an ROI and an immediate one at that, you know, and you know, money's getting tighter too, so you know, I understand it, but it's certainly that.
Yeah, but I've worked with a lot of different brands throughout my career and I've had generally good experience. Like, I just have so much experience now with it. Like, I've had 3 contracts. I've worked on stage. I've worked in development. I've worked in marketing. I've worked in education. I have so much experience now, which I'm super grateful for. And I know, like, the other thing with getting older and in your 30s, like, your perspective on like when things happen. Like, when things happen, it's like I have really developed the muscle for life is not happening to me, it's happening for me. Like, all of the experiences that I've had are leading up to my ultimate purpose. It's like my ultimate thing that I'm going to be doing. Right. So it's like, instead of being all like, oh, it didn't work out, or, you know, instead of being a little desperate or like upset over things, I'm more just like, all right, well, this is everything that I've learned. And I feel like I'm able to offer so much more with every single experience that I've had. And it's, I don't know, I like working with different people too. So I think with business, it's going to be, I haven't wanted to teach hair for a long time, for like 6 years. I've been kind of like, all right, like, I will do foils or I'll do color correction because I'm good.
Right.
I'm a good teacher. I'm a good hairstylist. But like, for a long time, I feel like I've been like, all right, I want to help people with this. So like my next tour that I'm doing, Hairstylist Hustle, that whole tour is 80% business, 20% hair.
Ooh.
I'm doing 15 classes, business only.
Hold on, Jen. I want to talk about this a little bit. Is that certainly, and this is kind of a bit, not my soapbox thing, but I'm looking for understanding, right? And that is that I'm certainly coming out of the pandemic. It was, you know, there's almost like this anti or this toxic kind of hustle culture chat that's going on, you know, and like so much stuff is about, and I'm looking for understanding with like, I maybe I'm of the age or I'm of the era or whatever that like, if you want to get anything done, you got to put the work in, you got to do the hustle. So I certainly understand about balance and things. And I don't know if that's what's really being said, but can you kind of walk me through or have you seen that one? Let's qualify it there. Have you seen like this social media thing about toxic hustle culture?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I've been in therapy for 3 years. So my therapist the other day was like, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. I haven't really been working that much. Like over the past 4 months, I haven't really, no, not 4 months. What am I talking about? 2 months. I haven't really been doing anything. I went on a 3-week vacation to Europe. I'm like, just chilling. Like my tour ended. I did 15 classes already this year. Uh-huh. My tour ended and I just been like chilling, doing not much work, computer work. Right. And my therapist is just like, I know you, and I know you saying you're not doing much is you're doing triple what anyone else is doing. And I'm just like, I'm like, all right, let me count back my days. So Tuesday didn't do much. Wednesday, I'm like counting back. I'm like, yeah, I am working. To me, not working, I'm still working. Like I have been bred and I've built my career doing 10 times what anybody would do. That's why you see me where I am today. You know, I have 4 businesses, make good money, touring, brand deals, a lot of followers, whatever. You see that because I've worked for it.
Right.
It's never been handed to me. So am I working on myself to have balance and to have awareness of what's healthy for me at certain times and what's not, right? Am I working on that? Absolutely. Am I working on that? Did I work on that my whole life? No, I didn't have the resources to pay $250 an hour for a therapist. You know what I mean? I didn't have those resources at 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, all the way up to 29. You know, I didn't have those resources. I've been paycheck to paycheck my entire life because everything has been going back into my business. As I've gotten older and more successful and more financially free, do I have those resources? Yeah, I have those resources now. Would I go back in time and change anything that I've done to get where I am? No, I wouldn't, and that's just me being blatantly honest, right? Did I go through a lot? Absolutely, I did. But like, I wouldn't change it for the world. And I have a beautiful work ethic that I get from my mother. But I think that there's, and I don't want to be the toxic person, but I think it's also toxic to shame people for working hard. Mm. You know, I think that a lot of it is like we spend so much time on our phone, and depending on what we subscribe to and what our views are and what makes us feel good and feel comfortable, that's what we see on our page. So like for me, I'll see like Tony Robbins, I'll see like Anthony Frisella, I'll see like people who are unapologetically go-getters and bosses and who crush it. Gary Vee, all of these people, that's who I will see on my page. And that makes me feel good. But yeah. Other people, what makes them feel good is saying something else. That hustle culture is toxic. That will make someone feel good. And that's okay too. So it really depends on what you subscribe to and what makes you feel good, essentially, is what you're seeing on social media. And I see a lot of creators creating a brand and a message around hustle culture is toxic. And my course, Hairstylist Hustle, I called it that specifically because if you try to resonate with everybody, you resonate with nobody. Mm-hmm. My audience is the fucking go-getter.
Right.
My audience is not the person offended by the word hustle. I'm sorry. No, you're not my people. If that offends you, you're just not my audience. You'll probably get offended of me saying the word fuck in my class. So like I specifically called it Hairstylist Hustle because I want the class to be for the go-getter, for the person who has these big dreams. And a huge portion of the class is how to become recession-proof, how to balance it all, and how to live a healthy, happy life. It's a huge part of the hustle because you can't do something that's unsustainable, right? Right? So a lot of it is my personal experiences with that and tools that I have been so fortunate to have. But it's very specifically for the go-getter. My class has always been for the go-getter. That's why my ticket prices are usually very high, right? My ticket price is the lowest it's ever been, $295 for cut and for color and business. And for the business class, it's only $195. So I actually dropped all my prices with the economy being in the freaking toilet.
So when I went, where can one find the class or whatever? Like, how do you find out about where the classes are going to be and how you can participate and all that stuff?
Just GinaBianca.com.
Everything's there?
Yeah, everything's there. But yeah, I mean, the hustle culture, like to go back to answering your question, I hope I answered it with like I'm on a rant, but it's just whatever makes you feel good is the kind of content that you're going to see.
Well, you know what I did pick up, and I'm a firm believer in this, is that what you consume is who you are. You know, like what's that old saying? You are what you eat. You know, yeah. If you're eating Anthony Robbins, if you're eating Gary Vee, if you're eating that's you are what you consume, you know, in the social media world. You know, however, whatever your feed is, that's who you are. That's who you'll become. Form those neural pathways in your head there. It's interesting too, is that my Instagram feed is way different than my TikTok feed, and my TikTok feed is for me, completely for me, you know. And it's like, if you want to know who I am or what excites me, you know, scroll through my TikTok, if that makes
mine
sense.
Mine is the same. I agree with you. A TikTok is way less hair too.
Yeah. Almost.
I want to say, at the end of the day, I mean, who cares what anybody else does? I mean, like, you know, it's like a salon owner hating on someone like a suite owner, or a marathon runner's hating on a sprinter, or a sprinter hating on a marathon. Who cares what your cup of tea is? You just stay in your lane, do you, and you're going to be around people that like what you're doing, and that's okay. Don't you don't have to hate on the person in the lane next to you if they want to do something else or do something different? Let them do them and just, you know, and just celebrate the industry together as a whole.
Yeah. And not everything has to be so polarizing. Like, not everything has to be like a life or death thing. Like, do I agree that I have to rest more? Yeah, absolutely. I have to rest more, but I'm not going to shame myself for being a hardworking woman. Like, I'm not going to shame myself for following my dreams, right? And that's how I am. You know, I see, you know, in my coaching that I do with my students and my mastermind group and all of that, I'll check them, right? But I don't shame them. And I think that that's a big thing. If you feel bad with what you're seeing on social media, if it makes you feel not enough, if it makes you feel weird, I block stuff. I'm like, unfollow, mute, like report. It's like, I don't want it on my page. Right. So moderate your social. We spend too much time looking at it to not moderate it.
Is this something new on Instagram? And I just realized it like literally this weekend, like where I can hide comments. Is that new or is that something that's been around for a minute?
I think you can always been able to hide them.
I for whatever reason, it just never like absorbed in, you know. I use it a lot, you know, whenever I like tag like Connecticut, now it's like, oh, send this to Connecticut is cool and we'll post you and stuff, you know, like, so you know, sometimes you do a, sometimes every time you do a post and you tag a location, it's always like, you know, be part of this cool kid in this city.
I hide you all the time, Corey.
Fair enough. I'm sure. Yeah, it's so weird. I just literally this weekend, I go, oh, I can hide all these comments. You know, I can get them out of the feed. I actually did it accidentally to one that I didn't mean to hide. And then I had to go, how'd that happen? And then, whatever. It's all good. Yeah, man, this social thing is a beast. All right, Gina. So where are you and have you been using AI or ChatGPT or where are you in that world?
Oh, yeah, totally. So I started using it. My neighbor, Ruan, at DevelaMark, I'm at the salon right now. He has a web company, and I talk about him all the time. If you guys listen to my podcast or if you're in Mastermind, you guys already know about DevelaMark. But he helps me with all my websites and stuff. And he came into my office. He's just like, open your computer. Type this in. Make an account. Boom. And I was like, okay. So I'm like on it. And he's like, ask this shit anything. And I was like, oh, and I like went through, I was like, this is cool. Then I didn't really use it too much. Then I spent like a whole night using it. I ran my whole website through it to proofread it. And I was like, how have I lived without ChatGPT? How have I lived without this? I do see a lot of people against it. And my best friend is a photographer, mm-hmm. and she's a little nervous about it because of the AI photos and stuff like that. And I was just like, but people thought Photoshop was going to ruin photography. People thought Instagram was going to ruin the hair business. So I'm not too scared of it. And I don't think we'll lose our jobs to it, but I think you might lose your job to someone who knows how to use it. So yeah. I think it's better to like use it. I use it all the time. I actually haven't used it in a while because I haven't been really working that much the past couple of weeks. No, I actually am redoing all my eBooks with Proofread. So this is what I love about it because I love writing. Writing is one of my favorite things. If you read like a lot of my captions and stuff like that, I love writing. So I wrote a new ebook. I've been wanting to write it forever. It's called Elevate and Empower. And it's about how to build staff retention. And I have this whole framework that I've been wanting to use, this whole thing. And what I did is I wrote my whole story as a salon owner. I just wrote for 45 minutes from the heart. Just wrote. And then I ran it through ChatGPT and I just wrote proofread and check for grammar, but don't change anything else. And it is like sending it to a freaking copywriter.
Okay. So hold on. Okay. So
I was like,
real quick. I want to spend some time here. One, I absolutely think we should fear it. Like, I think we should.
Really?
Yeah. But like we were scared of the internet. You know, like we were scared of, like you said, Photoshop, like we were scared of all of that. That doesn't mean don't use it. That doesn't mean don't become acquainted with it. But you should absolutely not fear it. You should respect it. You know, you should absolutely respect it. It is 1000% the next thing. It's 1000% going to change the way that we do everything, and not just ChatGPT, but all AI type stuff. Now, totally. With ChatGPT, it's all about the prompt. So when you're having it proofread or something, so what's your prompt for that?
I just do proofread and check. So I had put it in and then I just put like rewrite this so it sounds professional, right? Mm-hmm. Or rewrite this from Gina Bianca's voice, mm-hmm. right? And it sounds stupid. So my favorite prompt actually, because I love writing and I love my authentic voice. Like I don't like the ChatGPT fake voice. I like my voice. So my favorite prompt is proofread and check for grammar, but don't change anything else. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite one. Then a lot of, I'm doing a workbook for Hairstylist Hustle.
So you say proofread and do that. And then like, after that, do you like you put a period on that and then you paste it under that? So then it goes to improve. That's really cool. I haven't done that yet.
It's nice. It's if you love to write.
I hate writing. So I use it for the opposite reason.
Okay. So, I mean, it really depends on what you're using it for, but like I'm using it, for my workbook for Hairstylist Hustle. So like I have in my notes from years, okay, all of my Instagram captions, every caption I spend time writing, I save. So all of my Instagram captions of hundreds of topics, like my workbook for Hairstylist Hustle is almost 100 pages. That's the big bonus thing that they get in the class. I'm not doing swag. I'm not doing any of this shit. Doing the workbook. And I took all of my education, all of my captions, and I put them into ChatGPT and I just wrote, frame this out, and I write in everything that I want. So you can put information into it or draw information out of it. But what I do think, and you know, this is to each their own, I do think that the biggest danger on social media is losing your voice. So I think like you really have to like still prompt it and feed it your voice, and you still have to do some work. There will be people who use it to just automate all of their stuff, but those people aren't going to see as much success. It's almost like you don't want, it's like getting a facelift. You don't want to know you had anything done.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't want to look like you're using it. But if it can help you organize.
90% of the people fail on that because you can tell.
And so you're not going to engage with that. So they're not going to do well with that. If people are saying it's the end of Instagram.
It very well could be. Except I think like we need to, not we as in us here, but as a community, like Well, that, you know, where do we find community? Where do we find attention? Where do we go for that? So I don't, much smarter people are saying that it could be the end of like social media as we know it, but then where do we put our attention and how do we, the very cool thing about Instagram is that it is community, you know, whether it's community we like or not, it's still community. It's the way that you and I met. It's the way that I've met almost everybody, you know, in our industry is through that community.
I think that just like how Facebook is still around, but it's just not as much time goes on there. I think Instagram will be the same thing. And then I think TikTok will probably take a big step forward for another 2 years. And then there's going to be stuff with the headset. Like, I really do think that that's going to be like Apple coming out with their headset.
Right.
You know, my friend Ruan, he's huge into the metaverse. His license plate says metaverse. He's obsessed. He's one of my best friends. And he taught his first class in the metaverse, and he's setting up I'll text it to you. Yeah. The network is in the metaverse. Like, we already are in the metaverse. The salon is there. We can have classes in there. It's just the tech that a lot of people are going to get frustrated with. Mm-hmm. So before charging for classes, we're going to do some free classes and mastermind. But I really think getting people together and having them, instead of sitting here on Zoom, having them feel like they're there is going to increase the presence. And I think that's going to become really addicting for people. Like, I have one of those AI headsets, and like the tutorial is like a robot that asks you to dance. Have you ever seen this?
Yeah, no. I have one. I'm actually way interested. If you're going to teach a class with it, I want to see it, because my big dream, and I haven't even talked to Tony about this, but my big dream is like in the next year or two is I want to do our Presley Poe event like via a headset.
You will. There, all of that is coming faster than people realize. And there's going to be some people who are real hip to the technology, and there's going to be some people who just can't wrap their head around it, and they're going to get frustrated, and they're not going to be a part of it. But there's like,
head around it. Was that a pun?
Literally. But like, I love technology, and I'm always excited for the next thing. It's going to be a huge part of our kids' lives. Like, I can't even imagine like how much smarter our kids are going to be than us. Like, I can't even imagine like with,
I don't know if it's going to be smarter. I just think it's different use of smarts.
How you raise them, right? But like think of this, like when you have a kid who's 3 years old and you can give them an app to help them learn how to code at 3 years old, right? Or learn how to create music at 3 years old, or the tools that we have, like, it's just super advanced. And just like, we didn't have that when we were younger. So everything, I think it's called Moore's Law. I always ask my husband, like, what's the name of that? But like, technology, like,
every 18 months it doubles or something.
It doubles. Yeah. Like, so it's insane to think about, but I'm excited for it. I appreciate what you said about respecting it, but I always am the first person to like step into new technology.
Well, I mean, here's the truth, Gina, I'm the wizard, but the truth is that just like social media is amazing, it also sucks. It's equally sucky as it is amazing. And we chatted about this a little bit at the beginning of the podcast.
Everything.
You know, so ChatGPT, or not ChatGPT, but AI is going to be both amazing and it's going to suck. You know, it's going to equally suck, or, you know, you try to weigh it so it doesn't equally suck, you know, so it equally, you know, it's more of a benefit than it does suck. However,
it sucks. I think the suck is bigger the older you get, just like anything, like with your parents, with, you know, computers and internet. I think the older you are, the less adaptable you are to the newer technology.
The learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, have you guys seen the new Black Mirror episodes?
No. Should I?
So watch, you got to text me after you watch it. The first episode of Black Mirror, you got to watch it. That's the only one I've watched so far, but I was like blown away
at this episode.
I'm not going to give anything away, because as you watch it, you're going to be like, wait, what?
What?
It is so good, but there's brand new episodes. There hasn't been new episodes in years, and there's 6 brand new episodes. So go watch the first one. It's called Joan is Awful. And literally text me after you watch it.
I'm scared now. I'm terrified. I'm a little terrified of
Black Mirror is super crazy.
Yeah, I'm a little fearful of that Black Mirror stuff. To take it back a little bit, and again, this is just my 2 cents. But I think that, you know, as AI starts to take over more and more of the world, I think authenticity is the currency. I think human being able to be authentic and to be real is the currency of the future. Because my opinion is about music and stuff is Prince is always breaking through, right? Like super, super talented people are definitely breaking through. I don't know what happens with the people that aren't like the super talented necessarily, but I think that, you know, the great ones are always going to break through. And I think that, but I also think that the currency moving forward is going to be, you know, authenticity and being real, because we're going to have so much not real that I still think that I'll have the weight.
Dude, wait till you watch that Black Mirror episode.
Damn it.
Dude, wait till you watch it. Everything we're talking about, you're going to be like, just wait until like the last 10 minutes of the episode. You're going to be like, wait, what? I can't. I wish you watched it. Ugh. I agree with you.
We should just pause the podcast right now. We should all watch it together and then come back in and go, what?
With the reaction.
Yeah. Hey, so if you're listening to this podcast, yeah. Watch the first episode of Black Mirror and then, you know, let us know.
And then post a picture of your face in the last like 10 minutes.
Gina, you should totally and completely do a like a TikTok video of it or something.
It's so good. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying, though, with everything going on with AI and stuff, authenticity and vulnerability and being yourself. People are definitely going to connect more to that than anything. So don't lose your voice. You know, we were talking about before we started the episode, I just saw Taylor Swift in Philly or Pittsburgh, wherever I was. And dude, the first like 15 minutes of the show, people are like screaming, they're shaking, they're crying. And like, I drove 9 hours to see her. And I paid $1,200 a ticket to see this bitch.
Oh, geez.
And I'm sitting there.
Hold on. Are those prices or are those scalp prices?
Scalp prices. So I'm sitting there crying. And there's Taylor, tears in her eyes. So grateful for this moment of all these people. And all I could think about the whole time was Taylor Swift has mastered telling her story with her art. She has built a connection and a relationship with her audience, her fan base, all through telling her story with her art, singing love songs, singing breakup songs, and telling her story. And she has built this, like the power. It was insane to watch, and it just inspired me so much to master telling my story with my art, whatever that looks like, you know? So if I could leave you with anything on this episode is, yeah, there's crazy stuff going on in the world, crazy stuff with AI, but if you could put your focus into telling your story and building the relationships with your audience and with everybody around you, you can't lose.
I love that.
Can't lose.
I think that's a good statement to end on. Miss Gina, thank you for hanging out with us. Good luck with everything that's happening in the future, and even some stuff we haven't talked about. You know, good luck with that as well. We appreciate your friendship. We appreciate you coming on, and just thank you so much for hanging out with us, Tony.
Yeah, no, ditto. I mean, you're always willing to come and share your experiences, what you've learned, and we just truly, truly appreciate you a lot. And we thank you.
My pleasure. And everybody listening, make sure you share this episode and keep me at top three on Heritistry. Keep me on top three. All of my episodes better be the number 1, 2, and 3 on this podcast. So share this episode and make sure if you listen, send me a message. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you.
Especially of a Black Mirror. She wants to hear about what you think about Black Mirror.
Let me know what you think of the Joan is Awful episode of Black Mirror, and come see me at my class. This is going to be my last tour.
Oh, the final, tour. Come on, Gina.
For a few years.
All right. So
for a few years.
So not forever. Not the forever goodbye, but the,
no.
But the years goodbye. That's awesome. Miss Gina Bianca Sicard.
Yep.
Did I get it?
You did.
Oh, awesome. Never mind. Gina Bianca Sicard, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.